Thanksgiving Sunday, being thankful amongst the mess. And folks, please hear me. If you don't think that your life is in a mess, praise God. May your tribe increase. Most likely, if you're like most of us, there is some mess going on. Maybe not even in your particular situation. Again, praise the Lord. But you know of some mess. You've got some kinfolk. You've got a job situation. I mean, fill in the blank. But irregardless, even if it is, I mean, it's right here at your front feet, we should still have an attitude of thanksgiving. No, and amens rang throughout the building. Yeah. No matter what's going on in the storm, the ship and the folks in the ship should be calm. You know, the song's not coming to me, but you probably know the one I'm trying to remember. Well, that one too, but no ocean can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and skies. So kind of the same theme, but one's a little younger of a song than the other. But absolutely the anchor still holds. That's Betsy and Steve's favorite song to sing, and they sing it so well. When you and I are in life's mess, we still ought to be able to be grateful and thankful for all of the blessings that are still intact. No matter what happens in your life, you're still going to heaven. That ought to cure it all. No matter what's going on in your life, you've got the Holy Spirit inside of you. You've got your guide. You've got the captain on the wheel, if you will. No matter what is going on, watch this, church, you've got the Word of God to turn to. No matter what's going on, you've got the church of God that the Bible says the hates of Gael, the gates of hell, I'm 58, will not prevail against it. And so all of those things will never change until you get into heaven, and then it'll just be the culmination of all of those things. And so I'm so grateful and thankful. And so you and I, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And I'm going to tell you, as I get older, this is a greater challenge for me not to worry. It's a greater challenge for me to still show joy, even though some terrible things are going on. One thing I wanted to share with you, just asking you as a church, and I don't want to put names within our church because that just freaks me out, but I just want you to imagine, God forbid, but if one of the pillars, you know, whether it's a deacon, Sunday school teacher, fill in the blank, a pillar of this church, you see this person here, you know, man or woman, every Sunday, if God took them home right now before we felt like their season was done, and we've certainly had that happen throughout the years, it rocks us. Well, Stony Point was rocked Thursday. David Hughes, a bank executive, he resigned his position a few weeks ago because of his... So he was setting up for a triple bypass. They were going to go in and go ahead and just, you know, they don't crack the ribs much anymore, but they were going to do that for this because it was a big deal. But when they were doing all the tests, they found pancreatic cancer. So the heart operation was off the table until they figured that out. Well, pancreatic cancer is a death sentence most of the times. And so, sure enough, 4 weeks later, they're planning for a funeral. And so I'm just begging you to pray for Brother Claude Evans. Brother Claude has a special place in my heart because he's actually done what I'm asking churches to do. They have done the BAMO assessment 3 years ago. Brother Claude has the testimony that at one time they were not giving much money because they didn't feel like they had it to give. They started this assessment, started asking God to provide. He said these words, Brother Ben, we can't find enough places to put all the money that the Lord's giving us for missions. This is a small church in Potosi. And Brother David has been a big part of that, and his wife. So please pray for David Hughes' family and Brother Claude Evans and Bee. That's his wife. Precious couple. So I just want you to be aware of that. All right, so let's stand for the reading and reverence of God's holy word. Very familiar passage, a very familiar message, if you will. I'm just asking you to listen again for the first time. Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Philippi. Seems like in the last 4 months I shared with you this verse 2, you know, so when they would get a letter, the church would be called, assembled together. They'd sit down and they would read to the church members the letter aloud. And that really brings quite an emphasis on verse 2 here in just a moment. But let's start with verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord. My dearly beloved, I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche, these are two ladies, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Father, we ask you to add your blessings to the reading and preaching of your holy word. Change us, Father, to look more like you. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. You may be seated. And if you will imbibe me here just for a moment as we're seated, let's go ahead and pray for Stony Point. Ready? Lord, I just ask you right now to just do your will and way. I know that they're meeting right now. They're having church. And I beg, Father, that you would minister, that your spirit would be felt, perhaps in a way that it's not been felt. I beg you to give Claude preaching grace. This is a best friend, if not his best friend. So I'm praying for the wife and the family and Claude and B and the church as a whole. Do your will and way. The good news, Father, is that David came to faith in you a few years ago and just jumped in with all fours. He's grown and grown and grown, and he's taken on a lot of the leadership of that church. And so I know, Lord, that since his homegoing, you've been celebrating with him in heaven, and we praise you for that truth and that belief and that hope. And so, Lord, we're now asking for Stony Point for grace and mercy as they mourn, but that they will not forget how you've blessed them. In Jesus' precious and holy name we ask it. Amen. All right. I wanted to practice what I preach. So here we go. Point number one, giving thanksgiving amongst the mess of this life. Point number one with verse one, learn the art of centering. Learning the art of centering. This comes from Gordon MacDonald that wrote the book Ordering Your Private World. No matter what you think about what I'm fixing to say, this is just true reality. Gordon MacDonald was on the rise in the evangelical circles of pastors that were being followed and read after and the such. And he made a very poor choice. He cheated on his wife. He committed adultery. And so he went through that. His wife went through that. They forgave one another. He quit that lifestyle, obviously. And they have maintained their relationship. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb. But a fella that you probably do know, the name recognition will be like that. Bill Clinton, when he was going through what he went through in the Oval Office, he asked Gordon MacDonald to sit on his advisory team as a spiritual advisor. Now again, regardless of what you think about that second name that I just gave, he calls upon a guy that has, quote-unquote, been there, done that, but recovered from it and is doing the right thing after he's done the wrong thing. And church, that's key. You know, it doesn't excuse you and I to do that. No, not at all. But it is an example that no matter what the wrong thing is for you and I, we need to do the right thing after we've done the wrong thing. And I believe that whether Bill followed his advice or not, Gordon McDonald pointed him to Christ. And God has blessed his ministry since, type thing. And that's the beauty of this. Y'all know that verse that God loves to restore the years that the locusts have eaten? You know, he loves to write the final chapters. And so he writes this book, Ordering Your Private World, and I knowing everything about that situation, I read it, and he talks about centering. Well, what is that? It's making sure that you are in the absolute center of God's will. Are you and me okay? You know, we've talked about that quite a bit. With the eye of faith, gently putting God's face into your hands, are we okay? And you know what that means. It's not you trying to get God on your page. You trying to make sure you're on his page for your life. Church, you could write out your best life now, and it's not going to compare to what God has for you. You might as well just, you know, you want to make God laugh? Tell him your plans. Chunk them out and say, Lord, I'm here. I'm ready. Centering. Put God first. I don't know what your alarm does, but I have my alarm memorized. And when that blasted thing goes off, I know what's next. Lord, good morning. And then I turn to the wife and we have our time with God. It took me several years to get to that discipline. So wherever you're at on that journey, just keep trudging forward. Get there. I love, past failures do not predict future failures. You can succeed. You can put God first in your daily life and seek him with your whole heart. Failure is not final with Jesus. Put God first to learn the art of centering. Next, under this first point, keep short accounts. Don't let sins pile up. Confess them as they come. Next, practice encouraging yourself in the Lord. I am convinced as our world and our nation circles the drain, whatever that looks like and whatever that means, you and I are going to have to be able to encourage ourselves in the Lord no matter what is going on around us. We're going to have to be able, look here, you're going to do the right thing. Brother Gavin has said for many years, it's always the right time to do the right thing. And so as you and I put God first, we keep short accounts, we practice encouraging ourselves in the Lord, we will center with God. I want you to read that verse 1 again and catch what he's saying here. My brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord. And this is how you do it. You center. You make sure you're in the center of his will for you. Is there something that comes to mind? I know, God, I know you want me to do that. Get it done this week. At least get started. Center. Keep short accounts. Practice encouraging yourself in the Lord. Point number 2. Verse 2 and 3, I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they may be of the same mind in the Lord. I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Some scholars believe that there has been some neglect going on for people that had really knocked it out of the park to support and help Paul, and the church was not keeping close eye to their needs and the such, whether they were widows indeed or whatever the case may be. Now, this first issue, though, is quite obvious. Euodias and Syntyche, knock it off. Get right with one another. Don't let another day go. Now, church, I told first service, I'm telling you, second service, I'm not aware of an issue between church members, church attenders. I'm not aware of that. You and the Holy Spirit know. And so this is a well-established situation. You go to them. You don't go to everyone else. I want to share a prayer request. No. You go to that person that you have offended or they've offended you. Now watch this. If that person is unaware, by their actions, it's obvious they're unaware, that they have offended you, I think you can take care of that between you and God. But if it's pretty obvious, both of you know, you're avoiding each other or whatever the case, get it taken care of. The Bible says that Jesus bore our sins on the cross. He paid the price. You've got a, seems like an unirreconcilable situation going. You've got to simply claim and do what Jesus did by his grace and forgive that person. Pay the cost. I'm choosing to let it go. You can do that. God gives you the power to do that. Kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. This would be a great song. Let it go. Just let it go. Okay. You caught that. The art of third place. This is still under point number two. Get right with each other. The art of third place. I'm still developing this, but I've shared it with you. God first, others second. We're in third place. And if you take third place, it shouldn't be that difficult to forgive your brother or sister of whatever they've done. Do it biblically. Do it now. Help when you can. And that help when you can applies to that verse 3. If you see someone struggling, this has nothing to do with offenses. You just simply see someone in your fellowship struggling. We are to help them. And this church is one of the best at doing that. And we give God all the praise. Point number 3. Here it is. Rejoice. Rejoice. This is without qualification. So you don't just rejoice when you feel like it. You don't just rejoice when everything's going well. You don't just rejoice when you're awake. Meaning, if you get woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning, rejoice. And this is a choice. Notice here, he stated it twice. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say, rejoice in the Lord. Folks, when the Bible says something one time, that's enough. But when he says it twice, get after it. Rejoice in the Lord. And church, oh my goodness, we have so much to be grateful and thankful for. So much. I still don't think people believe me when I tell them this. I read this. It's true, according to smart people. When you take everyone's socioeconomic status in the world, no matter what your economic status is in America, as an American, you're in the top number one of wealthiest people in the world. So whether you're making $10,000 a year or $1 million a year, you're in the top 1% of wealthiest in the world. Folks, there are people in our planet that they spend all their day trying to eat one time a day. And they spend all their day, they don't have a job. There's not a job to have. There's not a car to drive in. There's not a home to live in. They are destitute. And if it weren't for organizations like this, if it weren't for churches, if it weren't for parachurch groups feeding them, they might just starve to death. Watch this. And some do. Some starve to death. Well, here you and I are, well-clothed, well-fed, got cars, got houses, and so, my goodness, and we're not going to be grateful? You know, and I know I'm preaching to the choir. I know you are grateful. It's just so important to make sure to not get so wrapped up. You know, I love this phrase. And I think as long as it's used properly, I think it's good. You know, we'll be talking about a situation and then it'll hit us. That's a first world problem. You know, where am I going to eat today? Oh my gosh, I'm so stressed out. You know, I've got $100 for this meal. What am I going to do? That's a first world problem. You know, and you certainly shouldn't be stressing out over that. You should be grateful and thankful and enjoy the meal type deal and pray before you eat it. But the reality is that we have so many things, if we're not careful, that we do get stressed out, that are first world problems. And we ought to give God the praise that we even have the situation to try to struggle, if you will, to make a decision. So this is without qualification. There's no time restraint, and it's stated twice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. We have some brand new people. So you folks are going to have to imbibe me. This is my favorite story. I probably share it every Thanksgiving. There's 100 people here that could probably come up here and tell it better than I can. But for our new folks, you need to hear this. Brother Ben was struggling with Christian cuss words. Y'all do that? You know, I had the bad ones. I had them eradicated. But I'd say bird dog, shoot fire, stuff like that. And even though it was stuff that nobody would go, ooh, he just cussed, they wouldn't do that. Me and the Holy Spirit knew that I wasn't being polite. I was cussing, if you will, in my own mind. And when I was dealing with the call to preach and the Word of God in my daily quiet time in college, the Holy Spirit said, we're taking all this out of your vocabulary. You're going to praise the Lord. You're not going to say, you know, all those other words. And there I was one summer between, CBC had this nutso rule that you had to move everything out of your room and then bring it back in September. I went there 4.5 years. So I did that. At least you'd have to do the math. You know I can't. One of the first times that I'm struggling with this, I am literally, and I was smaller then, believe it or not. So I'm a little guy, and I'm carrying this love seat type seat to the, you know, utility thing in my backyard, and I'm barely getting it there, and this was in the summer, and I catch a mosquito right there. I caught it, tried to work it up, couldn't, to spit it out. So I went, holding this thing, I'm like, Lord, please bless this to the nourishment and enrichment of my body. What else are you going to do? I had just heard a report that mosquitoes carried AIDS. So I really wanted God. You know, can you imagine? A preacher boy, I've got AIDS. Oh, yeah? And then I got it from the mosquito. Oh, yeah, sure you did. You know, so I'm really wanting God to bless this. And so far, you know, how many years later, I'm still good. Okay, all right. Look at verse 5. Look at verse 5. This is point number 4. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. This type of rejoicing is a discipline. It only comes through self-control. Folks, that term, let your moderation be known unto all men, that means you're disciplining yourself. That means that you're not going over here to an extreme and you're not going over here to an extreme. You are staying in the middle so that people know you're practicing moderation. Oh, I just couldn't help myself. Yes, you can. So this type of rejoicing is a discipline. Look at verse 6 now, point number 5. This is how you stay in control. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Now, this is the verse that most people don't like. So, Debbie, I'm going to tell on myself. I used you as an example in first service because Debbie's always faithful when I talk on worry. She comes out and says, I'm just a worrier, Brother Ben. Amen. So, Sister Debbie, you ready? You got your steel-toe shoes on? Stop it. I'm messing with you. But here's the point. And I believe with all my heart that Debbie is fighting it because I know Debbie. She's a fighter. She loves the Lord. She's trying to do right. Here's the reality, and I shared this, and it prompted the first ever. Jerry, I threw you under the bus first service too. Jerry's the only one that I was aware of until this morning that would text me while I'm preaching, okay? Thank you for not doing that, and Jerry, I'll deal with you later. But I'm messing. So Mandy sends me a text, forgetting that my iPad shows the texts also. This is what I shared. I can't speak for you, but the devil messes with me. And so when I'm going hunting, you know what the devil's telling me? You're going to shoot yourself. Accidentally, you're going to shoot because you're clumsy. You're going to fall out the tree because you're clumsy. You're going to hang yourself with your harness. Family's going to find you up there, you know. All that stuff, and I'm just tortured by that. Of course, Mandy texts and says, well, I wish you'd have told me that before I let Bo go with you. I said, I didn't say I'm tempted to shoot him. The devil tries to get me to worry about stuff that you and I have no control over. Can I get a witness? Every day, all day, he messes with us. Stop it. It's a choice. It's an absolute choice. Church, please hear me. I have worked myself up into a tizzy. That's a German baby, just in case you didn't know. Or hissy. Hissy's a German baby. There we go. Randy was ready to correct me. Anyway, if the devil, your flesh, or the world is torturing you with all of the what ifs, stop it. Lord, you're in control. I am worried for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, Lord, I'm going to ask you to take care of these things. And so I've just got some pat prayers that I pray before I do most anything. Before I get in the truck and drive, I pray my pat prayer, but I pray it with sincerity. Before I get up into a tree, before I climb up in a tree, I'm begging God for safety. I am. So it's important. I'm not getting on to you. I'm telling you, you and I can stop worrying, but we have to make the choice to do so. And it's so important that thanksgiving. Come into his courts with praise, the Bible says. You're basically dying to yourself when you praise the Lord. Lord, you have power over this, not me. I'm trusting you. Look at verse 7, and this is number 6 in the points. The peace of God. Verse 7 simply says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Church, the peace of God is because of God and his attributes. It's so important for you to understand who God is, all-knowing, all-powerful, ever-present, sinless, immortal, unchanging, wrathful, just, merciful, kind, compassionate. These are the attributes that I am aware of. I encourage you to launch into a study of the attributes of God. Learn God. One of the best books out there is Knowing God by J.I. Packer. One of the things that God has assisted, if you will, and called me to when I get to this area of our praise time is to look through the corridors of thankfulness. And one of the corridors is a portal into heaven. And this is just from the eye of faith, and this is just from Ben Kingston's opinion. And I preached this on a Sunday night about 3 Sunday nights ago. When I look through the portal to heaven, I see a people that are gathering. I see my grandpa. I see my dad, I see my brother, fill in the blank. I see a person that is worthy, Jesus, in the center of all of them. I see an angelic host. Can you imagine? I'm going to spend weeks, months, years maybe just circling an angel looking at him, just trying to figure it all out. This is a created being, the angel, the host of angels. What about the artistry that's there? What about the beauty that's there? What about the music that is there? And there was another point that's escaping me right now. But looking through the portals of heaven and just being grateful. Church, listen to me. If I'm not careful, I'm not longing for heaven. So do you know what that is happening in my life? I'm telling God I like it here more than there. How beautiful heaven must be. And as you and I look through that portal, we're going to get the desire to go. I'm fixing to say a term that if we were Baptist, we'd just get up and tear this place up. He is beyond our understanding. He is beyond our understanding so that he can give you peace when you can't figure it out. It just doesn't make sense that Missouri beat Florida last night. That doesn't make sense. But God has given me peace that he can do even that. I know I'm messing with all of you. Here we go. Our hearts and minds are safely kept through Jesus. Our hearts and minds are safely kept through Jesus. Church, there's no safer place than in the absolute center of God's will. Point number 7, verse 8. So what to practice while you rest in peace? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, what sort of things are lovely, what sort of things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. I'm going to confess to you, y'all know how they teach or used to teach people how to know a counterfeit bill from the real bill is to learn the original. They would not let them see fakes. They wouldn't show them fakes. They just taught them what the original looks like. So that when they got a fake in their hands, they're like, ooh, this is fake. And church, I'm telling you, you ought to so be familiar with these words that when something pops up that is not true, it's not honest, it's not pure, I'm not messing with that. Point number 9, follow godly examples. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. I said something either last week or the week before last that has absolutely impacted me, meaning you want your preacher to practice what he preaches. You and I should live in such a way, and this comes from Paul. Paul said, make an example of me, follow what I do. You and I should live in such a way that if someone follows the way we live, it brings God's blessings and not God's judgment. And church, as we do that, we're getting in that second chair because we're pouring into other people by our example and we're following someone else's example. Every one of you should have someone that, in your opinion, biblically, is knocking it out of the park, and you're following their example. And then that's going to make you a person worthy for someone else to follow. I took a picture of this, so I want to read it to you. This is from R.C. Sproul, so if you take offense to this, it's him you need to get offended at. We return to Luke's gospel to consider Jesus' teaching on covetousness. A man in the crowd asked Jesus to settle an inheritance dispute. Jesus replied that he was not holding the office of a judge. Then Jesus went on to warn the crowd against greed. He told the crowd a parable about a rich man whose field produced a bumper crop. The rich man expected to have security for many years, but in fact, he died that very night. Jesus was not saying it is wrong to have riches or even to have a savings plan. Rather, he was calling us to put things into God's perspective, for wealth and security are of secondary importance. We are first of all to be rich toward God, Luke 12:21. The way to know whether we have a proper perspective is to note what worries us. Jesus told his disciples not to worry about material things. Remember that Jesus' sayings are often hyperbolic. He exaggerated for effect in order to deal with our attitudes. The Bible elsewhere encourages us to plan for the future as best we can and to provide for our families. It is our fundamental outlook that Jesus addresses when he says, "And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it." Jesus tells them to consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than birds? Passing from birds to plants, he says, consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If God takes care of these, how much more will he take care of his children? Jesus encourages us by saying, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Soak in that. God has been pleased to give you the kingdom. The good shepherd speaks to his intimate friends and tells them not to be afraid about the circumstances of life. Regardless of how life goes for us, the kingdom is ours. Church, no matter what this week brings, we're going to heaven. No matter what this week brings, we have the Spirit of God inside of us. And then he says this, why do we worry about trifles when God has given us his everlasting kingdom? The literary form of Jesus' parable permits him to exaggerate in order to show contrast. How much more will God care for you, he asks. The implied answer is that no exaggeration could ever approach the measure of his goodness and care. Trust him whom Jesus trusted. Jesus explicitly trusted God, his Father. He wants you to do the same. Will you stand, musicians? Will you come? So remember, I'm not getting on to you. I'm begging you to apply Scripture. We need to be grateful and thankful. God has so blessed us as a people. And as a church, I think it's a sin for us not to be grateful and thankful for what God has done. I shared this in the closing prayer, so I'll do it now so I won't forget it. Church, you have been that example to me. What you do every year for the kids at Lonedale for Christmas, and we could just go right down what you do for Brad and I and the staff, for pastor appreciation, all those things. You shower us. We are grateful. We are thankful. And I'm thankful that God blesses you. Not just because that turns around and blesses me, but because I love you and I want you to experience the blessing of God. The only reason that Dawn and I started praying specifically for our kids about 6 months ago was because of the lavish provision that I saw him pouring on our kids' parents, grandparents, and families. The Bible says that God can bring repentance by his blessings. And I'm so humbled to see the blessings of God. And I'm so thankful this Thanksgiving season of how God has blessed you and how you in turn bless others. You've heard that phrase, you can't outgive God. You just can't do it. And so I'm so grateful and thankful of the God that we serve. If you're here today and you've never, ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, even though this hasn't been a gospel message, the gospel has certainly been shared. I'm inviting you to come. I'll send you as someone gender appropriate. They'll share the gospel with you, whatever the case may be. If you just want to turn this into an old-fashioned altar and pray and thank God, whatever the case may be, will you come?